GPS part three. First, before I get into that, anybody ever run sound before in here? There's a lot to it. No, you haven't. Well, I just want you to give it up for Dale in the back, but put your hands together for him because Dale does an awesome job. He stepped into this for us and he's doing a great job learning all the ins and outs, and we love Dale. Thank God for Dale. If Dale wasn't here, it would sound really, really bad. So we're grateful Dale is here. How many of you have ever before gone on a trip? You had directions for the trip all printed out off of that wonderful website called MapQuest or Google Maps. Everything's lined up. You got it all set. You're in the car and you're probably like a half hour down the road. There's really no turning back and you forgot the directions. Anybody like that before besides me? Or you've got one of these handy dandy GPS little gadgets here and either you got everything entered in or you put the wrong address in or you forgot to bring it in the car or something's not working. It's just not, and you're on the road and you're missing something. You know, it's like, I'm going to get lost. Something's going to happen here. How about this? Have you ever left home? This is probably, you know, the dagger to the heart right here. Have you ever left home, gone to work without your cell phone? Anybody but me is like, oh my gosh, there's something missing. It's like, I'm missing an organ. Something's not, I'm not healthy today. There's something going on. I'm not communicating clearly. I'm frazzled. Where is my, there's no way I can't communicate. If I can't text, if I can't check my email, I got one of those Blackberries that it's all in one. It's like we're a portable church. I'm a portable office. Wherever I go, the family church office goes. So if you're calling the number on any of our information, that just comes right into the office, which is me. So I could be anywhere. But if you forget that, it's like, what is going on? Well, a couple weeks ago, we kicked off this series called GPS, and we've been talking about how to navigate the Bible, how to open this thing up, begin to read what's in here, and have it change our life in such a way that if we've ever been lost, that we find our way. We find direction. So if you're lost and not sure where life is taking you, what the kind of the life's road that you're on right now, if you're lost, this is your GPS for life. This will help you to navigate and get back on track. And then last week we talked about the importance of turning it on. It's one thing to have this, but if you don't know how to turn it on, if you don't know how to make this thing start working for you, then you're missing out. It's one thing to have the Bible. It's one thing to even maybe, you know that it's the truth, but it's another thing to actually open it up and have it to impact your life. And last week I mentioned a book. It's called The Divine Mentor by Wayne Cordero. And if you're a reader, or even if you're not, this is a great, great book. And a lot of what we're going to be speaking about and have been talking about and I'm going to continue to talk about through this series, a lot of the information and illustrations, some things that we gleaned out of this book. And if you've been with us for long enough, you know that we do something that we call SOAP, which is a way to spend daily time with God. And we're going to get into that on our fifth week. We're going to talk about really diving into a specific time, a disciplined daily time with God and how important that is. But this morning, I want to open up passage, Psalm 119, verse 105. And this morning, we're going to be talking about how important it is that we don't leave home without this GPS, or really what we're talking about is without our Bible. It says in Psalm 119, 105, this is out of the Message translation. It says, "By your words, I can see where I am going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path." Or another translation says that your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Your word, God, this Bible, this scripture, if I'll open this up and I'll read it and not just turn it on, but I'll start reading it and I'm going to take it with me, then this will be a part of my life. It's going to open my eyes. I'm going to see things differently. I'm going to see my circumstances differently. I'm going to see the job that I work differently. Because my bumper sticker isn't I owe, so off to work I go, you know, where we're just going to try to get out of debt. But we'll see that job as, you know what, I give. I'm a giver. I'm participating in the kingdom of God. Or God, the job that you have me at, there's purpose behind it because you've put me in a place where I'm going to be able to minister your word to people. I'm going to be able to bring hope to somebody. I'm going to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody that Christ died for their sins, that he's life, that he's healing for their physical body, that he's healing for emotional hurts and wounds, that's the purpose that we have in life. But if we don't know how to take this with us, If we don't know how to, not the physicalness of this, not literally, and that's part of it, yeah. But I'm talking about what I'm reading in here. The words that are on these pages. If I haven't learned how to read this and see that God's shining a light on my life, then I'm missing out on what this is really all about. Because reading our Bible, there's a song that I learned growing up in Sunday school. I've sung it here many times. But it's like, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll sin no more. And how many of you know that's not true? Because you've read your Bible and you still sin. Anybody but me? Yes. Thank you, all you honest people waving your hands. But what we're talking about is, how do I take this, read it in such a way that I'm actually learning that God, you know, I'm being mentored by God. If you're at a place in life where you're wanting to accomplish something, whether it's a skill, whether it's a talent, whether it's a goal that you're wanting to accomplish, whether it's in athletics, whether it's on the job, in leadership, you know, if you're anything like me, especially starting in ministry, one of the things that I did was like, God, I just want a mentor. I want someone that can teach me how to do this, that can guide me. And you know what we have right here is a book full of letters, a book full of writings from men and women who walk so closely with God that God was able, the Bible says that every scripture, all scripture is breathed, it's inspired, it's God breathed. And these were the men and women that walked so closely with God that God literally breathed through them to pen what's on these pages. You know, I can sit down with Daniel and say, Daniel, how do you lead? Daniel, what was it like? Remember last week we talked about the price that we pay our two teachers in life. The one teacher is consequences that we pay on the back end, and we really never know how much it's going to cost, but it always costs more than our second teacher, which is discipline, that we pay on the front end. There's a pain to discipline. But I can learn from Daniel, who made some big mistakes. He had some consequences. One of his biggest mistakes was committing an adultery and then lining up to murder the woman's husband. And then the consequence of that was the child that they had conceived through adultery was lost. And the mourning and the pain that David experienced through that was enough that I can read that and say, I can learn from that. And we're talking about being mentored by people that, again, have walked so closely with God that he was able to breathe his word through them. And all we simply have to do is turn it on. And then as we're reading it, take it with us. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How do we take this with us? The first fill in your notes is, I must take the Bible with me. And again, we're not talking about the physical, literally carrying. Wherever I go, I've got to carry this, you know, this Bible, or I've got to, you know, now with technology, we can put it on. You can put the Bible on your iPhone or BlackBerry or whatever, and you can take technology with you. We can literally carry the Bible in such a small device, but we must take the Bible with us. Now, look with me in James chapter 1, verse 25. James 1:25 says this: "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom." The perfect law is God's word, and it gives freedom. So the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues, say this with me, say, continues to do, say it with me, and continues to do, doesn't just read it, but continues to do this, the word, this perfect law, not forgetting what he has heard, but say it with me, but doing it, he will be blessed in whatever he does. He looks intently into this perfect law that gives freedom. And so that's what we're talking about. Not just reading it, and maybe not even just looking intently into it, but reading it and intently searching the scripture in such a way that I'm going to be able to do what I'm seeing. I'm going to continue in this in such a way that I'm systematically, I'm on a process, I'm disciplined. It's a daily time of not just going through a religious process, but I'm disciplined to know that no matter if I feel like it or not, because I'm going to guarantee you, if you're anything like me, there's not a whole lot of days that I wake up that I feel like it's Bible reading time. You know, it's like, yay, and you hear a little song in the back of your head. Oh, Bible reading time. You know, it's like, there's not a whole lot of times that that happens. Most of the time we're getting up and it's like, oh, I'm so tired. I want to read the Bible. I want to read it, but I'm just, you know, and we hit the snooze. Or we get up and we're about to read it. We sit down with a cup of coffee and we're like, oh, finally made it. And all of a sudden we hear, Mom! You know, or the crying starts like, ah, you know. And there's a discipline that happens here. But if we don't learn how to spend this time intently looking at it, but not just reading it, not just seeing what it says, but finding a way to apply this to our life. Because the next feeling in your notes is, I must remember what the Bible says. It's one thing to read it, but this says continue in it. I've got to intently look into the perfect law that brings freedom. But I've got to continue in it, continue in this perfect law so that I don't forget to do what it's saying. And if I'll do that, that's when the blessing comes. That's where this really starts paying off, where I'll start seeing the fruit or the results of me looking into this. Now, what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a look at a passage in Luke chapter 10. And this is what the Bible call or Bible scholars have called the story of the Good Samaritan. Okay, and we've looked at this before on a couple different occasions, but we're going to see it in a different, little bit of a different light this morning. So if you have your Bible with you, I want you to open up to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 29 through 37. Luke 29 through 37. In Luke chapter 10, verse 29 through 37. And I'm just going to look at a couple verses real quick. But what I want you to do, I'm not going to take the time to read all of those nine verses there. But I want you to mark it down and on your own, sometime this, you know, whether it's tonight, tomorrow morning, sometime in the next couple days, open that up and read through that whole story, that whole example of the Good Samaritan. But look at this, the first couple verses here. This is talking about someone that was on his road, on the way on the road, and he was mugged. He was beaten and he was left for dead. It says that he was stripped naked. Everything that he had was taken. There were some thieves that had taken everything that he had. And he's laying on the road, good, just basically good for dead. And look at this. Here's where we pick up. It says a priest happened to be going down the same road, verse 31. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Verse 32 says, so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side as well. Now, what we're observing here, as again, we're talking about not just reading the scripture, but doing it. We just saw an example of two very, very, very religious people trained in the scripture. The priest, his whole role, by definition, was a person who was to go to God on behalf of the people. He was to be kind of that intercessor. The priest was the one that when you sinned, you would go, you would confess your sin and you'd have a sacrifice and he would stand between God and sacrifice for you on your behalf, laying his hands on the animal and confessing the sin. And then that animal would be sacrificed. He was the go-between. He knew what it was like. He was to be on behalf of the sinner. So he knew that. And what did the priest do? Here's a sinner on the side of the road, as the way the priest saw him. A sinner. And he passed on the other side. Didn't want anything to do with it. He knew the Bible. He had memorized, get this, the first five books of the Bible at a minimum was memorized, just as a result of being a Hebrew. He knew what God's word had declared, and he passed by on the other side. And then we've got the Levite, on the other hand, among other things, was known to be the leader in all forms of worship. If there was worship happening, the Levite was involved in that, was to bring worship to God, was to create an environment where people would experience God, much like what, you know, we do here on Sunday mornings, is creating this irresistible environment where we can come in and in a very relevant and just an everyday way experience God. Experience his word, hopefully in a relevant way, so that what you hear this morning is something that you can live out as you leave these doors. That it's, you're able to apply it, that it's real. And that was the Levite's job, and what does he do? The same thing. He passes by on the other side, making no connection at all with the man that's laying there. So in our notes, what we're looking at here this morning is that we must take the Bible with us. We must remember what the Bible says. But number two, knowing the Bible isn't enough. if you were raised in church like me, I mean, there's certain scriptures that, I mean, that John 3:16 that you see at the end of the, when you're on watching TV, the football game, and they're holding that up. That's not just, you know, some of us in here, that might be, what is John 3:16? What does that mean? You know, for me, that was something that was memorized, ingrained. You know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, this, it's in there. You know, a lot of the verses that we share, I mean, it's, you know, I know what they are, but knowing the Bible, knowing what the Bible says isn't enough. Knowing that, you know, this, the Bible talks about in tearing down strongholds, like when you have thoughts that come in that are negative and destructive, temptation, thoughts of temptation that are tempting you to do something you know you're not supposed to do. And the Bible says, you know, you're supposed to pull that down. I know that. A lot of us might know that, but how many of us, when those thoughts come, we just start kind of going along with it. Oh yeah, that's right. And we flow with it. Instead of taking those thoughts captive and say, no, you're not going to rule my life, we start allowing them to rule our lives. Or we read a passage here like James chapter 1 verse 25 that says, don't just read the Bible or don't just come into church, sit there and hear it and then walk away. What you're hearing, you're to say, God, how are you speaking to me today? God, what are you trying to say to me today? What do I need to know about you, God? What do I need to know about myself today? And allowing that word to transform you in such a way that your life is different. You're living differently. You're thinking differently. You're responding to the circumstances of life differently as a result of what you read in here. I'm allowing it to change me. So knowing the Bible isn't enough. You know, we live in a world that is full of experts. Have you noticed that? Or they think they're experts. You know, we're getting into football season. I just watched the Steelers beat the Cardinals again in preseason, just like the Super Bowl. Anyway, I was watching preseason football. And the greatest thing about football is Monday morning or whenever the day, and there's games happen all the time now. But the phrase, the Monday morning quarterback, they're able to pick this quarterback apart. I'd like to see one of those home slices actually get out on the field. And I know they used to, but get out there now where the way the players are now and the way the game is now. Let's see if you can throw the ball when you've got like behemoth men running at you. Very tight pants, by the way, which would cause anyone to run. But you've got all of this happening around you, and we got all these experts that know, oh, well, he should have done that. And if he was really watching the defense and learned what he was doing, he would have thrown over. Come on. We got experts. We got broke people telling us how to handle our finances. We got people telling us how to trade stocks that, you know, they don't know. They're not even in the stock market. We've got all these experts that know everything about everything. I mean, there's people I know that don't have kids and love teaching how to raise children. I find that just bizarre. You don't know what it's like. But we've got all these people that are experts. They know what to do up here, but they've never done it. You know the old phrase, those who can't do. What do? They those who can't do, teach. Thank you. We've got all this going on, but how can I take something from this that I've read, and how do I apply it to my life? How do I learn from the mentors of God's word? How do I learn from Daniel, who was threatened that if you pray, you're going to die? How do I learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament that says, if you don't worship this idol, if you don't worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to die. And they said, no matter what, we're not worshiping. God's going to deliver us. How do you be like that? How do you be like Noah, that against a massive cultural current determined that he was going to hear God's voice, obey God's voice, do what God said do? How do I do that? How can I sit down with Paul, who was persecuted in such a way that he was left for dead? How do I learn from him? And the only thing I know is that, number one, I've got to have a heart that says, God, I want to learn. I do want to learn. I want to be teachable. And the other thing is the discipline to sit down and open this, to turn it on, and to not just know stuff, but know it in such a way that when I'm in a confrontation, I'm able to respond rightly. When the pressure is on to backbite and to gossip and to talk bad and to stir up strife, when the pressure's on and there's this energy and everyone's in there and people are talking, and it's like, How do I have the fortitude to say no? No. How do I have the spiritual fortitude that maybe in my weakest moment and the biggest weakness of my life, when no one's looking, there's no way anybody's ever going to see, how do I have the fortitude to say, you know what? I'm doing what God's word says to do. The only way I know to do that is to learn that, and next thing you know is that I must do what the Bible says. This is how we take it with us, because it's really not taking this physically with us. It's taking it, it's bringing it with us. It's being in us. There's so much scripture about being in Christ and Him being in you, that this is, Jesus is the Word made flesh. So everything that we read here is like Jesus. I'm spending, He's getting in me more and more, taking over more and more of my life. So I've got to do what the Bible says to do. I think a lot of us have a good idea of what is right. You know, we know the right thing to do. We have a good idea of how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to act. Maybe it's because, you know, I went to parochial school. I don't know how many of you ever got beaten with a ruler, but I did. And, you know, so it's like, you know what to do. It's like, yes, I do. That hurts. That's not love, by the way. That's not loving at all when you're beating me with a ruler. I'm bruised now. You know, your fingers, I can't write. You told me to write all that. Sorry, sister. You just beat my hand to a pulp. Sorry. I'm going to try. And then you got to become ambidextrous, you know, and write with your left hand. But are we applying what we know? And we're looking in this passage, we're looking at the Good Samaritan. We've seen what the priest has done. We've seen what the Levite has done. But there's really a hero in the story. Because, and I'm not saying that lightly, and I'm not being cheesy when I say that. Because if you and I were this person, if we were the Good Samaritan today, the media would call you and I a hero if we acted the way this person did. Because what he did is he stepped in a moment when everyone else, even those that knew more about God's word, how they stepped to the side, yet this man had something about God in him that he was able to move forward. Take a look with me, because we're going to learn, there's a few principles from this passage of scripture that are going to emerge for us through this story. But look with me in Luke 10, 33 and 34. It says, but the Samaritan, this is just after we saw the priest and the Levite decide they're not helping. We see that a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. Or another passage or another translation talks about this compassion that was stirred in him. It says that when he saw him, he took pity on him and he went to him. He felt something. And we don't know if the priest or the Levite felt it. I think it would be difficult for them not to. I mean, how do you walk by somebody that's lying for dead, beaten? I mean, you know, there's something about me. You ever watch those movies and someone is just beaten and it's like there's no one there to help them. And you're just like, you really feel that emotion. You just wish you could be there, you know, and just start swinging something. I mean, here's this, how do you not feel that? How do you not feel compassion? How do you not feel that emotion when you see a helpless person laying on the side of the road? What is it in us at times where we can walk by helpless people? What is it? Is it a callousness to us that we have it on our mind that if someone is like, if they're in court, they're guilty automatically. If they're struggling financially, well, they deserve it. They brought it upon themselves. What is that about us that we haven't allowed God to come in such a way that we're at least feeling some compassion and some mercy and some emotion for somebody? But I'm telling us, there's some principles that we can pick up by watching how this hero responded that will help us to take the Bible with us. So here we go. Number one, three things. The first one is this. Taking the Bible with me will, number one, it will involve my heart. It will involve not that physical thing that's pumping the blood, but that heart of compassion. The spirit of man, the Bible says, is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. We talk about that at the beginning, Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, because the spirit of man, the heart of man, is the place where God shines his light, that bright light that he shines on us and says, something here's got to change. Something in here is it doesn't belong. And so that light of God's word will allow our heart, it'll involve our heart in such a way that I'm longing, God, to do what you want me to do. I'm longing to be what you want me to be. I don't want to stay in this current condition of life. Something's missing, something's broken. And I've got to allow the light of God's word to shine on my heart. And if I do, if I'm taking this with me, it's going to begin to involve my heart. How many of you ever outside winter time? And I've done some things in the winter, whether it's changing the oil on my car and it's cold and your hand, you've got gloves on, you know, cause you, it's cold. And it's just, have you ever tried to, you know, like kind of with gloves on, try to fix something? Have you ever been, you know, skiing or snowboarding and like me, you've tumbled a little bit and you got to go find, you're trying to get something fixed, get the snow off. And the glove is like, ah, you got to put, why? Cause you're insulated from it. You got to pull the glove off and you've got to be able to feel, you've got to be able to touch it. You got to be able to handle it in such a way that you can make the change. And I think that's where a lot of us are in life, that there's like a glove on us and we're not sensitive enough. We're not able to really touch and get a handle on what's going on around us. We drive by things, we walk by things, we see things, we hear things, and we just pass on because we've got somewhere to go, somewhere to be. And yet if we're taking this with us, if we're allowing the Word of God to change us, it's going to involve our heart. Are we letting God use our heart in directing our lives? I want you to think just for a moment, especially those of you that you're further on in life, maybe you're in a career, you've finished school, you're in a career now, or married, children, or wherever you are in life, but you're about 30 to 50, that segment, just for a second. Don't worry, everyone else that's younger or older, you're not being missed. Just hold on with me. Take a moment and think about where you are right now. Just look where you are. Kind of step out of life and look down at the map. You are here. If you're evaluating where you are, have you allowed the Spirit of God or God direct you to where you are? Are you where you are because your heart, by the Spirit of God, brought you to where you are? Or have the circumstances of life and maybe not so wise decisions, pressure from family, spouse, friends, has brought you to where you are? How many of you, and don't raise your hand, but just can you right where you're at, can you say with a clear conscience, with beyond the shadow of a doubt, I'm in the center of God's will? And when we talk about bringing this with us, we're talking about God's word. Reading it, hearing him speak to me, allowing him to mentor me and to guide me and to involve my heart, that he's speaking to me, and through by my heart I'm connected to him and I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I would imagine, simply because of statistics that say that 85% of people hate the jobs that they're in, that there's probably quite a few of us in here that maybe our heart, we haven't followed our heart to where we are. And that may be why there's a lot of frustration and stress. Because the God that's in us, we haven't allowed our heart to be involved. And I'm not talking about just, you know, a desire, a thought, a whim, without counsel, without guidance. I'm talking about God speaking to you and his call on your life, his destiny for your life, his purpose for your life. Have you allowed him? Because it'll involve your heart. Is he directing your steps? Is he guiding you? Or have we become callous to feeling compassion or hearing his voice to the point of action or inaction that we don't even act now because of a callousness of our heart? Look what it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 34. We see the Good Samaritan coming in. He's leading and he's guiding. He's bringing life to this man that's laying on the side of the road. His heart is involved. Luke 10, 34 says, and this is what he did. He bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn and took care of him. The second point is this. The second principle that we glean is that if we take the Bible, it will bring healing to the hurting. if we take this, it's going to involve our heart in such a way that we will bring healing to the hurting. Health to those that are either physically broken, or health to those that are emotionally broken, or healing to those that are wounded, that are devastated in life for whatever reason. Maybe they do deserve it because of the choices that they made. And yet, you know what they still deserve? Compassion. You know what else they still deserve? Healing. You know what else they still deserve? Help. Mercy. Grace. A second chance. Someone's help. Someone to come along and bind them, bring them up, to embrace them and to let them know that they're loved, that they're not neglected, that they're not worthless. They need to know that they're worth it. They have what it takes. Everyone, we deserve that. And when we take the Word of God with us, it's going to involve our heart and it's going to bring healing to the hurting. Look at verse 35. It says, the next day, he took out 2 silver coins. This is our hero here. He didn't just step out because there could have been the fear of, if I go and help him, I'm going to get in trouble too. These thieves are going to come and beat me up. All I got is a donkey. It's not like they run really fast, you know? It's like, that's all I got. You know, this is it. He could have been feeling all that, but he stepped in anyway. And here he is, he stepped out, took the risk, sacrificed everything. Here he is, he's bringing the guy to the hotel. He takes care of him, spends the night there with him. And the next day, it says that he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, not if I return, if the guy's still here, no, I'm coming back because I'm gonna take care of it. When I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you may have. When we bring the Word of God with us, it brings healing to those that are hurting. You know, it's not just health that it brings to those that we might be walking down a road and, oh, someone's hurting over here, and so I'm going to go and help them. But it also brings healing to us personally. I don't know how many times that I've been hurting emotionally, physically struggling. And I sit down with this, and I open it up, and I might be, you know, just sitting there with Moses, and he's mentoring me on how to handle betrayal. Or sitting there, like just like we talked last week with Jeremiah, who's just in darkness. And to hear him say, I'm sticking with this thing. I'm not quitting on ministry. I'm not quitting on life. Or Habakkuk, to hear him say, everything's failed. The vine, there's no provision. There's famine. Everything, all my bank account is empty. I've lost my job. Relationships, people have left me. I've got nothing left, but what does he say? Yet I will praise the Lord. Why? Because he makes my feet like the feet of, he says, he calls it hinds feet or deer's feet, so that I can leap above the things of life. I can sit down there with Habakkuk and say, how do you do that? And his life, his counsel, his mentorship is poured into me. I receive healing in those moments. I'm the hurting one that's able to sit down and say, God, I need healing today. I'm the broken one. And lastly, the third principle that we glean is that he'll make me an advocate for the helpless. Those that everyone else has turned their back on. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when we, Family Life Church, for us as a church, you know, we're a new church. We're a church plant. We started from nothing, you know, with no one, no people, and God's just growing us. But the vision behind this is that a church would be established that's simple, that's just generous, that's just friendly, and that's just relevant. That's it. place where we can come, and that if you're hurting, that there's a place for you, an advocate for the helpless. An environment, a place where no matter where you're at, what you've done, that we're a life-giving church, it doesn't matter what you look like, what your history is, you can walk through these doors and you will be smiled at, you will be loved, you'll be appreciated, you'll be accepted to come through these doors and to experience God, to hear His word, and to experience the love of His people. That's what we're all about. That's what Family Life Church is all about. And I'm telling you that if we'll learn to not leave home without this, to open it up, to pay the price of discipline. I'm telling you, I'm learning this myself. I'm not preaching this because I've got this all down. And that every day, with like clockwork, I'm sitting there with my coffee in my study, with my Bible. It's not true. I'd be a liar. Struck down right now. Probably just die if I said that. Because it's not true. It's a fight that we all push through. We gotta set this, the tone, the discipline that we're gonna spend this time with God. That we're gonna pursue Him. We're gonna be discipled, mentored, but it will change us. God will get in us, and where we're able to hear His voice and involve our heart to make the adjustments in our life that we need to make. It'll help us to bring healing to the hurting, and it'll cause us to be an advocate for the helpless.